Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You are listening to the Load Management Podcast. Why? I don't know.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? It's your man Shops, brand new episode of the Complex Sports Podcast. Here, as always, with my trusty co-host, Adam Caparella, Zion Olajide. Fellas, I'm excited. What's going on? This is a great week. This is a great week.
It great is a week. Terrific week.
You know, real quick, fuck whoever left the review saying that I was bitching about the guest cancellation last week. Fuck you.
Someone left a comment about it?
Oh, I didn't even know about this.
Salute to that hero. I want to meet that man.
Fuck that.
Standing ovation for that commenter.
I'm not convinced it wasn't one of you two fucking clowns.
Maybe.
Nah, I didn't even know. It was Adam.
Adam left that fucking comment.
I got more important shit to do than that, pal. But I'm glad that someone called you out for you being the biggest depressive individual of all time just because Shams had a cancel on his last minute, pal.
It's called Shams. Okay. But this week, 1,000 times better. You know why? CJ McCollum back on the podcast, and we're talking Browns, and it was fantastic.
It was
fantastic. Before we get to that, Zion, we gotta talk to Adam about something. We gotta have a heart to heart with Adam.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's time. Wait. It's time to expose Adam for another bad take. This should be
Adam,
a segment.
This isn't even a bad take. This was just Adam being wrong. Oh, Adam, yeah, we had Jared Dudley on this podcast not too long ago.
Oh, Jesus.
And you sat there and you told Jared Dudley, who was a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, that his team would not be able to improve in free agency. The Lakers, I don't know if you noticed, just had an incredible free agency.
Well, just to stop you there, Jared Dudley is a free agent. We don't know if he's going back to the Lakers yet, but he could. Likely is.
Likely future member, current member of the Lakers, yes. Okay. Adam, would you like to address how wrong you were in talking to Dudley about the team that he's probably going to be?
All right. For starters, if you go back and listen to the clip, yes, a month and a half later, I am wrong. I will be a man, or a month later, I am wrong. I will be stand up to that. I got it wrong. Do you want me to provide context, or do you not give a shit?
We don't care about context.
Fine, then we'll keep it moving.
Yes. So Adam was wrong.
I mean, I'm just saying, it was just wild to me that you were telling Jared Dudley what the Lakers.
Okay, but did anyone foresee Montrezl Harrell taking less money to sign the Lakers?
No, and that conversation comes up later with CJ that it seems like he was probably a surprise to.
Yeah, no one saw that. He took a massive discount to go play with the Lakers. So I hope it works out. It probably will. It's going to be in dynamic situation.
As CJ said, it was a fuck you type move.
Pretty much. But no one saw that coming. And yeah, I made miscalculations about which guys would re-sign, who would opt into player options, and I got it wrong. But you don't care about the context, so.
I mean.
I got it wrong. I mean,
we're not trying to pick on you.
No, but it's fine. Call me.
I said punt the rep money on the Packers this week and they lost. So, you know, I hope.
No, but back to the Lakers. But we didn't see Dennis Schroeder getting traded to them. And
I saw that.
Oh, you did?
No, that was rumored. It was rumored like, wow, you were speaking of it.
Yeah.
But it was rumored before.
And as we discussed earlier, when you were trying to get me riled up when we were taping our Kirk Herbstreit portion of the interview.
Kirk Herbstreit also on this podcast.
As you can tell from the title, since you obviously have downloaded this. Well, whatever. Anyway. you were trying to get me riled up because I wrongly interpreted Rondo as I thought a clear-cut candidate to re-up with the Lakers. And he clearly wanted more money, and I didn't read the reports properly, so I miscalculated Rondo going back. I miscalculated Avery Bradley opting back in. I thought Dwight would be an obvious guy who would come back. So, yeah, in my calculations, my expectations, the way stuff was laid out back in mid-October, and the way I interpreted the conversation with Dudley, I thought he was implying like signing some other $20, $25 million individual or something like that. That wasn't possible.
Yeah, but I think I said that after, like even the day after or the time after we did the next podcast, like they didn't have to get another third star. We always knew the only two people safe on that roster were AD and LeBron.
Yeah.
That's all we knew.
You're right. But KCP made sense to bring him back because they had the bird rights. Yeah. You could go over the cap to sign him, which they did. But salute to your boys over there at Clutch, the Los Angeles.
Yeah, salute to Chops
Los Angeles Clutch Lakers.
Hey. Rich, Farah, everybody, you guys had a great, you guys got a lot of people paid. Congratulations.
Yeah. So is LeBron the GM? Is LeBron the GM of the Lakers or is Rob Pelinka?
I mean, let's talk about it because everybody says MJ is better than LeBron. LeBron's already a better team builder than fucking Michael Jordan. That dude's wilding right now in Charlotte.
Yeah, that dude, Mike, MJ, bro, you need to give it up, bro. Just give it up. This is bad.
Sell that team. Sell the Hornets.
Bro, his last big contracts were like Cody Zeller, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward.
But it's not as bad as what the Pistons are doing right now.
Who knows what the Pistons are
doing? Is it worse? Can you
rationalize the moves the Pistons made, the money they spent on the individuals they spent it on?
I mean, at least they got some nice people.
Like, at least Hayward's made an all-star team.
Hayward has stretched one all-star appearance into like $400 million. So I guess
that's a great finesse. We should all be so lucky.
I'm surprised he didn't go back to Indiana. I mean, I think it was quite the situation.
I'm surprised the Celtics didn't sign and trade him in some way, shape, or form to get something out of him.
I'm not shocked that Danny Ainge almost made a move. Danny Ainge is the king of falling short in trades.
That was a terrible. I mean, they got Tristan, but also.
I think Tristan was a good pickup for them. I'm going to miss Tristan.
You said Clutch was getting guys paid. That's cap. They're getting guys underpaid.
Who's underpaid? To help
LeBron James. Tristan Thompson was underpaid. Montrez was underpaid.
How's that helping LeBron James, Tristan Thompson going to the Celtics?
It's not. He didn't go to Clippers.
I will say I love that the Cavaliers just are like committed to helping LeBron win even now. Like, they're just like, fuck it. We'll take on JaVale so you can get Marc Gasol.
Well, I mean, that's the only championship Cleveland's going to have for the next 100 years. So, yes, they should still.
Yeah, 100 years.
Just let LeBron be like an honorary member of the team. You just keep helping him wherever he is. I'm down. I'm with him.
That's just weird, man. The NBA is a suspect in words of Dr.
I mean, if we're going to talk about L's, I took the Packers L, Adams L, Zion. The Serge Ibaka thing was a bit of an L for your Nets. Let's just keep it buck. It was.
No, it was.
It was an L.
I won't go as far as say it was an L, but it was very disappointing. It hurt me. Serge, that was a very weak move. You went to a trash, depleting team with no chemistry and clearly just players leaving because they don't want to be there. And passed up Brooklyn, your boy. Kevin Durant, your boy. That's your boy. Like, you could have teamed up with a squad and been the missing piece. The one missing piece for the Brooklyn Nets.
He fits so perfectly on that Nets roster. I don't understand it. I really don't.
And you just pass it up to play with Kawhi again. Come on, bro. To play with Playoff P? To play with PlayStation P?
Yeah, I mean, what can we say? It was a wild week of free agency. The Tred shit really, you know. I don't think we should wait any longer because we haven't talked about the Browns, but we do not need to talk about the Browns because we have CJ McCollum on and we talk all about the Browns because CJ is the biggest Browns fan.
Exhausted.
And it's great. And not only that, we got to tease it. There is a bet in the world. There's a bet placed between Zion and CJ for the upcoming Giants-Browns games in a few weeks.
You know, I'm going to interject real quick. Pal, you should have gotten more out of him in that bet. You got to do... You have to do a lot of shit, okay? You should have requested more.
Let's not lay it out. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, listen to it. Obviously, listen to the interview. But I'm just going to say that, Zion, I think you got fleeced with this bet, pal. If you lose, you got to do a lot of shit.
I might hit up CJ because that's a little...
You might have to renegotiate.
You can't renegotiate anything.
You might have to.
We can tweak it a little bit. Just a little bit.
He fleeced you.
Let's get to that. Let's not wait any longer. Let's just get to our CJ interview. It's great. CJ is a friend of the pod. He can come on whenever. He's great. So let's get to that interview. CJ, what's going on?
Just enjoying life as a Browns fan.
Let's go.
I mean, for our listeners, CJ did put on a Browns jersey egregiously, disturbingly, disappointingly. But, you know, I guess cape for your team right now. They're doing okay. Although your assertion and Chop's assertion, they're destined for 10 wins and playoff success. Let's slow the roll just a little bit here. Just a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. I undershot it.
No, come just get that out of here. Jesus Christ.
Avoid the Chiefs. You know, maybe we finish second in the division. Who knows? Who knows what could happen? Miles is getting nice rest right now. He's on the COVID inactive list. He'll be well.
That's what we categorize.
He's resting up. He's resting up.
I did wonders for Cam Newton, that COVID list. Yeah.
CJ, let me just say, you were on this podcast, I think in June, maybe May. You predicted 10 wins, and I said I'm with you, and they laughed at us. They laughed at us, CJ. Now look.
Hey, he who laughs first, laughs first, laughs last. So we're just going to continue to do what we do, beat bad teams, lose to good teams, and we'll still finish 10-6.
I'm glad you have some perspective because Chop seems to lose it at times.
I've never said anything, even though they, CJ, all year they've tried to tell me that that Colts win wasn't very good. It's looking pretty good right now.
It is.
But we never said that. Stop putting words up. We never said the Colts win wasn't good.
I did.
Zion,
I did
literally
Zion
said
well, young Zion say. Sometimes has some wild.
Nah,
things.
But their schedule is still easy as hell. Like,
oh, Browns' schedule is incredibly easy. What's the final few games, Chops?
Yeah, you're playing the whole NFC East.
The Browns' schedule is
just. We still got the Ravens left. We still got the Steelers left.
So yep. Two losses.
And we still have the Titans.
Three losses.
We have the Titans. That Ravens game, they're looking shaky. I'm putting that as the 11th win.
I think we beat the Ravens, and I think the Steelers rest week 17.
So 12-4. Are we up to 12-4 already?
I mean, it's a possibility. There's a big possibility the Steelers rest. If the Steelers drop a game between now and in the last week, I feel
like they're resting everybody.
I feel like some guys will rest for the playoffs.
I'm ready to say that the Giants will beat the Browns 100%.
Wait,
what? I'm ready to put money on that.
Is that game in Cleveland? Is that game in the Meadowlands?
Yeah, stop it.
It's at home. It's Giants are home.
No, Daniel Zion, Jones got a shaky at
that
home.
Is not happening.
We're playing for a division title. Are we not? We all laughing, but it's true.
You're 100% accurate. It's you are right. Joke, and whoever makes it is going to get mollywopped in the first round or the wild card.
No, mollywopped.
Nah.
CJ, let me ask you this. Just Browns fan to Browns fan. What is your favorite part of this right now? Because we haven't experienced this. And it feels good. I'm going to tell you, it feels good.
I mean, I haven't been this happy on Sundays in a long, long, long time. We used to just look forward to bye weeks and the draft. Now, Sundays are fun again. Even though we win ugly, even though we should probably be 8-2, but we'll take 7-3. The fact that we can say things like that as a Browns fan just kind of shows you the strides and gains we're making. Defensively, think about it. We're out of both our draft picks got injured. We don't have them. We lose Odell on offense. We lose Chubb, you know, arguably the best running back in the game. You know, some people would say Alvin Kamara, some other running backs, but he's top five. We have a backup who's a starter. We have a quarterback who's playing well enough for us to win. He's taking care of the ball. He's making the right throws most of the time.
Baker, I can give you
outplayed Wentz.
I can give you.
That's not saying much, CJ. That's not saying much. Let's relax on that.
He's playing well enough for us to win games.
We got Kadarrell Hodge out there playing receiver. Higgins. This is a team's team. This is a complete unit of just football guys putting it all out there every Sunday and winning football games.
And let's give credit where credit is due. Kevin Stefanski is doing an outstanding job. You look at the other hirings across the NFL and how poor their teams have done. He's making a lot happen right now.
Okay, can I just interject real quickly?
Real quick about the coaches. Joe Judge, Zion's a Giants fan. He's out here fighting offensive line coaches.
That's a fake story. Fake news. That's fake news.
Kevin Stefanski's not fighting anybody in practice.
Listen, compared to who you guys had last season, a goddamn high school coach would have done a better job, okay?
Yeah.
Let's slow the roll here. Some perspective.
Freddie Kitchens was the worst coach in NFL history.
It's hard to beat bad teams in the NFL, as we've seen a lot of teams struggle with it.
Yep.
We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're beating sub-500 teams, which is hard to do. That's a sign of a good team, a team that wins the games they're supposed to win and loses the games they're supposed to lose. And you win a couple of those, and next thing you know, you're 10-6.
Let it be known that the Browns could still miss the playoffs, even with their record.
I will say it is a little ironic that the first year – that we're like good, there's a whole bunch of really good AFC teams. That is a very Browns thing to have.
Chops, what's the playoff probability for the Browns?
84%.
Right now? Oh, CJ's on 84? Top of it. Okay.
He knows.
7-3, 84%. We win the next game, it just goes up.
That doesn't factor in the Giants.
I did the math. If they win the next two, they play the Jaguars, should be a win. They should go into Jacksonville and win. Jacksonville's 1-8. If they beat the Titans the next week, we're in. It is playoffs. It is happening.
So, I'm not being the Giants. 100%.
Yo, I'll lose my mind if we get the 9-3.
Lose? I won't know how to act. I had a buddy text me today. He's like, Victory Mondays don't even feel weird anymore. Like, I just wake up. I'm used to it.
It's like we won again.
We won again. I love it.
The best part is I had the Browns defense on my fantasy team, and boy, did they show up and show out.
I thought he was the worst linebacker in football. He had a pick six yesterday.
That wasn't him, bro. That was Carson Wentz. Yo, Carson Wentz is garbage. Come on, bro.
Doesn't matter. He can go back home and say that he had a pick six. He had a defensive touchdown. More defensive touchdowns than those lovable or not so lovable Giants you speak of.
Let's talk about that game, because Zion, you're capping right here. You're talking a lot of shit about.
I'm very confident we won that game. The way we played this season, we played close most of the year. Like, obviously, we haven't pulled out the wins, but you're giving me that
face.
We can
screenshot CJ's face right now for the listeners. He's giving the stink face to Zion.
It's true. Like, we've been in games most of the year.
I'm a realistic Browns fan. Like,
are you sure?
We're slightly above average. We're playing well this season. We're slightly above average. We're building towards, you know, being a consistently good football team. We're learning how to win ugly games. That's the sign of growth. Your Giants suck.
No. Listen. Number one, we have a better QB. We have a better QB than
that's not going to win you game. Look at the rest of the team. You can't get Evan Ingram. Listen, ball. I have him on my fantasy roster. He's begging to get out of there.
No. You're saying we can't give Evan Ingram the ball. He's dropping wide open passes.
He's begging. He fit in well in Cleveland. You can give him the ball.
No, you can't. Bro, Baker's throwing 10 passes for 100 yards every week. Like, come on.
It's cold and snowing in Cleveland.
I will say, they like to, CJ, they like to ignore all weather factors for all Browns games. It's they ignore everything.
Excuse me? No, ignore all weather factors.
It was like, and then Lamar has a game in the rain, and they're like.
No. Lamar had a game in a hurricane. Let's relax, pal.
Yeah, I'm not bringing Lamar into this. I'm specifically talking about how it was 20 degrees outside with 30-mile-per-hour winds. We had to run the football.
That's been like 2 weeks, though.
And why wouldn't we run the football when we have the best backfield in the NFL? We have
the best backfield in the game for the people in the back.
We have the best backfield in the NFL and the best offensive line in the NFL. Wyatt Teller is an all-pro, probably. And I didn't even know who Wyatt Teller was like 6 months ago.
I don't know if we have the best offensive line in the NFL, but they are damn
good. For that.
They are damn good.
You have all that. Listen, you have all that. You had Odell and Jarvis healthy, and Baker still wasn't getting him the ball?
I don't care about none of that. We're winning games. I ain't got nothing to do.
The blinders on. We're not seeing any of that.
All we care about is wins, baby. We don't care about
CJ. Staff. You know what really sucks though? And obviously it's just COVID sucks that we can't be there. Because being at a home Browns game right now when they're good, that Monday night football game against the Ravens would be insane.
I was going to the game in Dallas new stadium. I was going to be there.
Well, you can still go. Fans,
I mean, Dallas will let you go.
Yeah, you can go.
I don't know the optics on that one for an NBA player. Yeah.
I ain't going. I'm staying in the house. I'm following our governor's rules.
There we go.
Staying in
the house.
Smart man.
But it does suck, CJ. But next year, hopefully, we're still good and everything will be open and we'll be able to go. CJ, you're up there. You're top five most famous Browns fans.
Top five most famous Browns fans. It's not saying a lot, but I'll take it because I'm loyal.
But I do want to say, I got so excited yesterday with your conversation with Miles because Miles said he was going to have all those sacks against Jacksonville, and now he's out. You got everybody's hopes up.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of gauge if he's going to play or not so I can figure out, you know, what defense I should play. But I think I want to go back to the Ravens.
You're going to play the Ravens against the Steelers?
Big Ben might throw a lot of touchdowns, but he's definitely going to throw some picks.
But they're playing the Jaguars, CJ. The Jaguars are bad.
You're right.
Yeah, you might as well stick with the Browns defense.
Yeah. I'll stick with the Browns defense. No, I'll stick with the Browns defense against them and the Giants.
Ooh, there we go. Because you know Daniel Jones turning the ball over.
I can't wait, bro. I cannot wait. I guarantee we'll win it.
Can't wait till Daniel Jones breaks for 70 and trips.
Hey, that's going to be more yards than Baker has the whole game, so I'll take it.
They don't actually watch Browns games.
We're still going to win.
I can't wait. I can't wait, man. Ooh. I just can't wait.
Let's put it on. CJ, so transition a little bit. NBA season coming up. How much did you play into the fact that the Trailblazers had a very good offseason? What were you doing? Were you recruiting? What's going on here? Because you guys had a very good free agency period.
I wasn't recruiting. I'm done. I'm retired. Melo was the last player I recruited. And I got him like 5 years later, so it worked out. But no, I was just enjoying time with my family.
Congrats on the wedding, by the way. You just got married. Congratulations.
I'm just living my best life. I'm having a a good 2020, a good end of 2020, working out, trying to get ready for the season, and then just, you know, surprised just like everybody else. And, you know, oh, we signed who? Oh, that's cool.
You weren't surprised. Don't lie to us. You knew that Covington trade was coming.
I didn't. I talked to our GM almost every day, but I just give advice on players that I like. I don't tell them what to do. Like, that's not my job. My job is to hoop. You ask me about a player, I tell you about him. I'll even circle players that I like on the free agency list. And then it's, from there, it's up to you. You do your thing. Like, I'm not the guy that goes in and says, I have to have this guy. No, it's like, these are guys I like. These are guys I think will be good for us. But do you? I like Trevor Ariza. Like, so I would never like be like, yo,
yeah,
get Trevor Ariza. Like, I'm a Trevor Ariza fan. So, like, I don't do those things because I got relationships with my teammates.
But if you're having a convo with the GM every single day, how come you're not breaking some news on Twitter? You got those journalistic chops.
I also enjoy my job and the relationship that I have. the guy that's paid me hundreds of millions of dollars on multiple occasions. So, like, I can't.
Tell him to give you one tidbit, though. Give him a little nugget of more.
Multiple occasions. Let's just recognize that, CJ. Multiple occasions. $100 million. I love that.
Facts. But I think my guy, but I'm not, you know what you can do and can't do. And some things are better left unsaid because it's not often that some of the things that we try to do are executed. You know what I mean? Some teams back out at the last minute, things can happen.
Yeah.
So you just never truly know until Woj tweets it.
So we saw that with Dwight Howard, my bad. We saw that with Dwight Howard over the
past. Yeah. I was just going to quickly ask though, CJ, did anything surprise you about what your Blazers did?
The Enes Kanter one, I wasn't expecting that. I knew there was a chance that we needed to back up center, especially if Whiteside wasn't re-signing. So I knew there was a list of guys that we were going to target, but I wasn't sure we'd be able to get him. I didn't think Boston was going to get rid of him. So that was surprising. Jones, that was surprising. I know we wanted to be more athletic. We wanted a defensive guy. I think he checks those boxes. And I thought Melo was going to re-sign. I mean, I talked to him pretty often, but I just wasn't sure.
You guys are deep. You guys got, like, a lot of depth going into this season.
I'm looking forward to it, man. We just got to stay healthy. You know, we missed Rodney Hood last year. Oh, we missed Trevor in the bubble. But just got to get off to a better start, stay healthy, look forward to Zach returning, and then we'll have a lot of depth in our front court. We were very thin last year, super thin. That's why we ended up having to bring Melo in. End up working out for us, but hopefully we can stay as healthy as possible. Some of the younger guys will get more chances to kind of develop and play alongside veterans and kind of go from there.
Well, I mean, it can't get any worse, though. I mean, your injury situation last year was comical.
It was
like, that's just like bad luck. It's like you guys are like the bad luck injury team last year.
It was rough, man. It was some rough times where we would show up to shoot run and we wouldn't know who was playing. So it would be like, jeez, we'll figure out the starting lineup. So we'll get to the arena later tonight because we didn't know who's.
I'm sure Nurk is happy that you like Kanter's back because Nurk was having to play so many minutes in the bubble near the end there. He was just running up and down the court. I felt bad for him. He was like,
I didn't even mention Nurk. Like, we missed him a lot. And now, like, being able to have two big men, you know, who can play inside, outside, are smart, can make plays. And to be able to, you know, Nurk can play 30 minutes some nights, he can play 25. And hopefully we can have some blowouts this season. We haven't had a blowout. 7 years, maybe we can blow some teams out in this fourth quarter. It'd be nice to get a warrior like fourth quarter where you get to sit out and kind of relax. But, you know, we just got to continue to build. I think it's the biggest thing, build together, get that continuity going in 72 game season. So you got to get off to a good start.
Was there any free agent thing across the league that had you guys like texting each other, like very surprising? I think the Trez one was like one where a lot on the outside people were like, oh, wow.
Gordon Hayward. Trez, I was surprised Trez went to. Well, that was more of a.
More of a what?
That was a fuck you move, but. but just because Trez is the sixth man of the year, you know what I mean? You wouldn't. No disrespect to some of the other players that have gotten 8 to 10 million recently, but you know he's taken 9.5 million. He's the sixth man of the year. I was 19 and 8, and then his teammate, you know, 15, 16 million a year. Like, you kind of know where his scale is at. He takes less money to go to a state with higher taxes to play against his old team more often than they're playing the same arena. But he's also having a chance to compete for a championship. He's also with Clutch. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And I'll never count another man's money, but you also know people's value, and he's definitely more valuable than $9.5 million. So I was surprised. I was surprised that Gordon Hayward, when he opted out at $34 million, I knew he had to have a bag on the table, because any man with a smart woman in their life is not turning down that type of money unless they got more money coming in. And obviously, you got a smart circle around him. And trying to think who else.
Charlotte was definitely a surprise. I don't think anybody saw Charlotte being the team. I think the Knicks were a lot of, like, the one that people thought was going to be that team.
Yeah, and Indiana, I thought he was going to go to the Pacers.
Yeah, but yeah, go home.
Detroit is spending money.
They certainly made some moves.
Yeah. Well, no. What the hell is Detroit doing? Is the accurate question. That's what we should be asking. What the fuck are they doing?
That's your worries, not mine.
Yeah, right. We get it.
Bro, you're going to be guarding Jeremy Grant at the 2 next year. Like, when you guys
play Detroit, you're going to have to guard Jeremy Grant.
Jeremy Grant, the 2. Jeremy turned down that money from Denver. He said, it's time for me to go.
He wants to be the focus of the offense.
What are you thinking about the West right now? Because, you know, CP3 on the Suns, like, there's a lot of, obviously the Clay injury just sucks so much.
That's trash.
Man. It really sucks.
He's such a good dude, too. Man, you hate to see him. Man, 17 months of rehab to go back into rehab. I feel for him, man. But you just never know in the NBA, man. There could be a team like OKC that plays well. You know, like what CP did last year. Obviously, the Suns will compete. They showed that they can compete in the bubble. You add a guy like CP, you know you're going to be good. You had Ayton to start the season as opposed to him being suspended. So I think there's a lot of things that will help them. Who knows what Sacramento is going to do. Utah. I mean, everybody is going to compete. It's just a matter of getting hot at the right time. I think some teams got better, some teams got worse, some teams stayed the same. You just want to be in a position to peak at the right time and then get into the playoffs healthy. I don't know what the Rockets are going to do either.
Well, I mean, see you retweeting the Russell Westbrook trades that obviously aren't
going to happen. Yeah, so you're going down to Houston. You're getting a kick out of that one?
Oh, I see. Well, that just didn't make any sense. But some of the trades are pretty funny. Like,
I think it was you and Zach Collins for Westbrook.
Yeah, it was like, it's a bad deal for everybody.
It made no sense.
Terrible deal, but people are crazy. I think they just say things sometimes for ratings. And
I mean, I think everybody's curious about Houston. I mean, my man Zion here, as a Nets fan, you know, he's hoping that they pull the trigger on the Harden. You know,
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to trade him there. I think you're going to end up staying. Would you give up a player with 2 years left on a deal? Who's your best player?
But you have to get a superstar back for James Harden. You can't just get a bunch of, you know, role players.
I like LeVert. I like Dinwiddie. I like Jared Allen. I like the picks. But for Houston, you went all in on James. You brought in James, like, his preferred players. You don't trade him this fast.
Don't you have to ask for Kyrie in return?
Yeah, for Kyrie, I would do it.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, but that's a non-starter.
It's not going to happen, bro. You have to ask for a superstar level player.
I mean, if you really want James.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people saw you guys get Covington and were like, oh, this is the start of the teardown, you know? And then it kind of didn't happen.
There's no way he wants to return to that roster. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I wonder where Russ goes. I thought Russ was going to Charlotte and then they draft Melo.
Yeah.
I was going to the Knicks, then they signed Austin Rivers.
Austin getting 30 shots off a game next year in the Knicks and the Garden.
And he's going to give some epic post-game interviews. Can't wait.
Austin's going to love being in New York by himself.
Oh, he's about to go out. He's about to go out there and go to work. He's about to be killed.
Yeah.
Him and Julian.
I hope so, man. That fit with RJ Barrett is going to be. Two Duke guys. I'm a Duke fan, you know, but. Oh, we love Austin though. That's our guy. But
I will say this: Duke players are interesting NBA players.
Why? You gotta explain that.
Okay, now you're going to dangerous territories. You gotta explain that.
They're just interesting. They're really, really good in college, and then historically, depending on the player, they're either really good in the NBA or fall off. Maybe it's development.
Oh, that's what we're doing now.
I'm kidding.
I mean,
you got a Duke player. You got Rodney Hood gonna come at you.
Rodney doesn't count. Rodney went to Mississippi State. He just
you got three Duke players.
Gary There's Trent. Three Duke players on.
If they were there, they were there for 5 months, like Austin Rivers, they don't count. If you were there for 6 months, there's no development happening. You're already ready for the NBA. You just stayed there. The guys that stay for more than a year, is either something wrong with you, or you just weren't good enough to go pro. But most of their players are one and done, so there's no real development happening in 6 months. They don't even go to class.
So you don't count Jason Tatum as a Duke player.
How many years is Jason Tatum there?
One.
No, 6 months.
I mean, you count Kyrie as a Duke player. He played 5 games for Duke.
Bro, he was there the whole year.
He was there the whole year. He played 5 games, Zion.
His game screams UNLV back in the day.
very clear what was going on there, yeah.
In fact, if you go by that.
He's a Calipari player.
If you go by that, then Kentucky players are, you can't count any Kentucky players. That's all they do is one and done.
Yeah, but Cal's recruited some, like, Anthony Davis in college compared to Anthony Davis now. Devin Booker in college compared to Devin Booker now. Tyler Hero compared to now. Bam.
Wait.
Like, they go to the
league. So you're saying Calipari gets credit for that?
No, I'm just saying they go to the league and get better, whereas Duke's players.
Jason Tatum didn't go to the league and get better?
Okay, that's one.
Jason Tatum.
Kyrie?
Kyrie was already on that level.
Bro, Kyrie has grown dramatically.
Name two players.
I mean, Rodney Hood's there too. I mean, but that's not our third best. Zion will get there, you know. Zion will get there. We know
just
that.
Saying, just keep it a buck with me, man. New players.
Cam Reddish is going to get there eventually. Nah, bro. I can't keep it a buck.
New players.
CJ, what rookie are you most? Do you want to play against? You looking? You want to bust up LaMelo?
Dog. I'm damn near 30 years old. I'm not worried about no rookie. Like, I'm more worried about, like, how many times I need to walk my dog a day. Like, I got real, like, responsibilities, like adult responsibilities. Like, work is, like, I just show up and whatever rookie is there, like, may I have this dance? Like, I'm not tripping. Like,
you show up and get buckets, though. Like, a bucket, as Twitter would say.
I'm not worried about nobody. I work hard. I do my job. I show up to work and I do my job and I go home and I sleep good at night. Like, I'm not about to be watching film on these rookies. They're about to go through a crash course. This is unlike anything they've ever seen. No summer league, no real training camp. You got drafted last week. You're trying to find a place. You got Thanksgiving. You got a fake training camp that starts December 1st, but you can't really do contact until December 6th. Then you got to play a game 2 weeks later. Like, they got a lot of issues that they're about to face. A COVID travel season. Like, this is crazy. This is a crazy year. I feel for these rookies, because it's hard for us to kind of mentally, like, jump through these hurdles, and we've done it, like, year after year after year. They're about to jump into the fire with no summer league. Like, that's hard to do. No September to kind of work on stuff. It's unfair for what they're about to go through. I feel for them.
Did anything surprise you about how the season came back in December, or the travel? Because I was kind of surprised. The schedule's not that regional as the rumors were out there.
They played us, bro. To be honest, we were not supposed to start this fast for obvious reasons. Based on what we were told, it was like December's no chance. It's not possible. Yeah. To December 22nd, game starting before Christmas. Before, it was like Christmas or January or February. Now it's before Christmas. 70 days for Bron and the Miami Heat players. I don't even know if Dragic's foot is healed. Like, that's how fast, like, this turnaround is. You got guys that got hurt or trying to recover. I broke my back, and I was thinking, like, my timeline in my head, I was like, perfect. Like, I got January, February. And then it's like, oh, no, like, now I got to speed up the recovery. I got to speed up this. I got to transition faster into contact. So it's just like, certain teams, they're great. They ain't played in a year. For us, if you had an injury or if you're recovering, like Zach Collins had an injury. So, like, he was thinking he was going to be good, right? Now the season gets moved up 2 months. It's not, like, within the timeline. You know what I mean? So there's just all these things that are kind of messing with certain players and certain teams. But you just got to pray, take care of your body, and hope for the best. Because as we've seen in the NFL, like, a lot of guys got hurt that second week, a quick turnaround.
How did it happen? How did it just kind of happened? It just,
I mean, It was a negotiation, but it was like, didn't make sense to wait that long based on what we were presented. It was just like, damn, this is a lose-lose. You know what I mean?
That money wasn't looking right?
Not the money, the timing of everything, the Olympics, the viewership. Yeah. Think about it. Like, I don't even watch basketball in the summertime. You know what I mean? I play. So, like, all that stuff kind of goes into account. But, like, what I was thinking is that we would delay the season because of COVID. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of waited out. This is, like, the spike. This is as worse as – this is as bad as it's ever been. Yeah. Waited out. You know, wait on a vaccine that could come 10 months, 12 months, whatever. Like, go through those trials. See if they can figure out the rapid testing to where it's a 5 or 10 minute turnaround. And then you can test people and maybe have fans in 6 months. But now we're going to start a season with no fans in 3 weeks. It's like it's – it's interesting, brother, but you know, I just do my job. I show up. I'm just an employee.
Have they laid out? I don't think it's been reported, but have they laid out at all for you guys preliminarily, like, you know, the health protocols? Because obviously, it's gonna be a very different than the bubble situation. You guys traveling all over the country.
I know what you know.
Damn. Which is nothing.
Damn. And we start in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and y'all, it's not like the NFL has this new thing where a bunch of guys test positive on Monday.
And they play on time. What the fuck is that?
But y'all play games all through the week. Like, that's not a possibility. You know, like, you don't have the not a luxury, obviously. But
I don't know what the – like, we're going to have Dr. Fauci. We're going to have, like, all those conversations with health experts and kind of figure out, like, a protocol that goes in place. But can you imagine a situation where, like, today I tested at 10 a.m. I don't know when my results are going to come back. But, like, I've been negative this whole time. But – what happens when we test on game day and the results come back at 8 o'clock and the game started at 7?
Well, that's how you get Justin Turner playing in a World Series game and having to leave the game in the eighth inning.
I think they knew he was positive before the game.
Oh, they knew.
Oh, for sure they knew. Yeah. Yeah.
He said, let me get my ring, though.
Right. I mean, so, like, I don't know what's going to happen, bro. I literally have no idea. Our coach is still rebounding with gloves and mask on, even though they're negative. Like, it's really weird. Like, we're in a weird spot to where we're trying to, like, follow, like, the rules in place, but it's like.
And y'all were never doing another bubble, right? Like, that, you guys were never.
Not for a full season. There's no way, people, go crazy. Can you imagine being in a bubble for seven, eight months, only seeing the teams you got to play against every day?
Yeah.
Like, you don't see nobody else. Like, you don't see your
wife. There would be a mutiny. There'd be a mutiny down there.
There was almost a mutiny.
You see a bunch of men pent up aggression and energy and anger. Just it'd be fun.
Do you have PTSD from the bubble?
Honestly, bro, I went to Lehigh University. Where I took ice baths and trash cans. Like, the bubble was like a 5-star resort to me. But like, that's, I was true. Cool. It's just more like being away from your family. That's the hard part. Like, I had just got a dog. I was supposed to get married in September. Like, you're missing out on all these things that you kind of plan for. My wife had just moved in and I was leaving.
Yeah.
So it was just like, it was a lot that we had to kind of go through. And then everybody's like, I got kids, you got this, you got that. And like, some people on strict diets, like, you got a chef, you got, like, you eating at these times, you doing this at these times. Now you're trying to, like, figure out where you're going to take an ice bath at. You can't shower in the arena. Like, there's no steam room. Like, this stuff, like, I have like a schedule of, like, I have steam room at this time. I get cold tub at this time. I got table time at this time. I got the PT coming to the house at this time. I got the movement specialist doing this. I got acupuncture. But, like, we can't bring an acupuncturist in. It's like masseuse or acupuncture. It's like one or the other. Like, you have to choose between, like, how you're going to take care of your body. And then you break your back or you get an ankle injury and you're trying to recover with limited resources. You know what I mean? It's just like, it was cool because I was getting treatment at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Like, I wouldn't do that at home. Staff's families are gone. Like, they have nothing to do. They're like, yo, you want to go to the table? I'm like, yeah, actually, I do need dry needling on my back. Like, how do you know? So this is just like, you took better care of yourself with less travel, but the health side of the isolation, when certain people are used to, like, coming home and, like, you being around your family, like, your dog runs up, whatever, is gone. Like, there's no way, like, you would agree to do that for 8 months. Like,
yeah, y'all weren't about
it. What did it feel like entering or re-entering the real world after you left the bubble?
It was crazy, bro. It was just like, man, I was just outside, like, it's fresh air.
How fucked up was your back? I don't think people realize.
It was, like, bad. It was bad for a while, like, laying down hurt. like trying to sit on the toilet, like any movement, I couldn't laugh too hard. It was bad. And then like it progressively got better. And I just, the first couple of weeks it was rough, but.
So you were, you and Dame were laughing at all the Clipper slander, but your back was hurting because you were laughing so much.
Yeah, but I was off the meds at that point. So I was.
That explains it. Y'all, dude, CJ, y'all were going in, man. Like
that
for real.
Was the greatest day of NBA Twitter of all time.
Bro, they really played themselves. But it's funny because I actually wanted to see them play. After we lost, I was like, all right, at least I'll get to see like a good matchup. You know what I mean? Mm. And then it happened. But it was just ironic. It was like, isn't it ironic?
I mean, it was. It was. And now, you know, like you said, Trez said peace. Peace to y'all.
I have the Blazers over the Clippers right now as a better team. But.
I got the Blazers as a 3 seed in the West right now. I got the Blazers as a 3 seed in the West.
Hey, man, put us at the bottom, man.
Oh, he wants to be the underdog.
Put us at like 12 seed, bro. Like, we don't need none of that. Put us at like out of the playoff. Put
yeah, but you want to do another play-in scenario game with the NBA?
We will not be in the play-in scenario. That is unnecessary games to be played on the body. We need to do a better job of taking care of business so we can watch the playing game this year. But
they need to be a 6 seed then.
Can Dame is he going for MVP this year? It feels like a Dame MVP run is coming.
Dame works hard, man. He works on his game. He works on his mind. He's sharp. He's in game shape right now. He's ready to go. So I mean, we know these first 10 games is our season.
Next question about Dame. Is he cooking up a diss track about Anthony Edwards?
Oh, that was weird.
I can't. What is Anthony Edwards doing going at the NBA Rap King?
I didn't even see what he said, but he's really young, man. These kids are young. They don't know.
I mean, he said Dame like can't rap, basically.
He said he was rapping like Little Baby and considered himself the best rapper. I don't know.
Hey, you better work on that jumper.
Like you said, these rookies got something coming to them real
better
soon.
Be working on them shuffles because he can't run in the West. Better be sliding.
CJ, before we get you out of here, let's get a final Browns thought. Let's get final predictions.
I thought we were done talking about the Browns.
No, we got to end on it.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Giants out. Giants out. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Oh, man.
10 and 6 or 11, 5.
Let's go. Let's put on record. I'm saying 11-5, CJ. Go with me. Let's go 11-5.
11-5?
Let's go 11-5.
If we go 11-5, we're getting out of the first round.
We're beating the Bills in the first round. We're beating the Bills.
Sorry, Diggs. Diggs is my guy, but we're beating the Bills.
We're beating the Bills first round 11-5. That's it. That's what I'm saying.
That,
right here.
We don't know what's going to happen after that.
We don't know what's happening then. We don't know.
All
we don't
have
know.
To do is avoid the Chiefs at all costs.
Yo, this is nonsense. I need you guys to be humble so bad. This is crazy.
Be humble.
We've been humble the last 20 years.
Because technically, we could go 12-4, to be honest.
I'm being realistic right here. We've been humbled for 20 years.
We've been humbled our whole life. I ain't never felt like this.
This is why you should stop talking before
stop
the result.
Talking.
You know?
I said 10-6 last season. I was a year off.
And he said 10-6 in June.
Said 10-6 again, man. Take the over, man.
I mean, their over under was 8, CJ. We about to pass it.
I should have bet on this.
I did bet on it.
Bro, y'all barely beat the Eagles on Sunday. Relax.
It doesn't matter who you barely beat. All that matters is that.
You know what Kevin Stefanski said? Ain't no such thing as an ugly win. They're all pretty.
They're all pretty. They all are 10. They all nine.
This is disgusting. This is
y'all be
disgusting,
having some man. Ugly losses, like, by the way. We're gonna be honest.
Oh, my goodness. But you know, when the New York Giants are in the playoffs, people tremble. So
the New York Giants? They'll ever say, like,
the four-time.
Y'all ain't been that since
the four-time Super Bowl champions.
Y'all ain't been
the
that
four times.
Salsa dancer.
All right.
Real quick. Yo, I saw Costa Kufis is coming back to the NBA possibly. Can we recreate the picture of you two in high school?
That's my guy. Costa's my guy. He's been working out.
That's like the greatest photo of all time.
It is. It is. True underdog story, just like our Brown.
Yes, sir. Oh, no. Let me not.
Yo, CJ, you're going to be in season.
Oh, my goodness.
CJ, you're going to be in season, but they're allowing fans in Tampa for the Super Bowl. I'm just saying.
It's Sounds like a COVID.
You just cursed it, so congratulations.
Yeah, that sounds like a COVID hotbed.
like a COVID hotbed. Super spreader Super Bowl.
I'm just joking. CJ, we got this. It is a remarkable season. It's going to get better, I feel.
Hey, we'll revisit this. When do we play the Giants?
It's like in a couple weeks.
Yeah, make a bet. I mean,
CJ, it's the game after the Ravens. It's the game. Could we play?
You drink Opus One?
I mean, I'll take it if you're gonna give it.
I tell you what. We lose to the Giants. You pick the one. We beat the Giants. Right. We beat the Giants. I pick the one.
All right, I got you.
How about this?
Is there a price point? Is there a price point that I need to stay under?
No.
Browns beat the Giants. How about this? Browns beat the Giants. Zion runs our social media. CJ McCollum highlights for 4 straight days on the Complex Sports Twitter. How about that? That's a good bet.
Let's do 3 days. 3 days. In
3 days.
I'm number 3. And I want you to change your Abby to either me or you take it,
or Miles,
or you find a Browns player you like to make.
Oh no, I'm not doing no Browns player. I'll do you. Cause wait, is that Complex Sports or my personal Chase Abbey?
Which one's better? Should we do Complex Sports annual?
Yeah, they should be both. And 3 days of highlights, 3 days of CJ highlights on the page. How about that? Let's lock that in.
3 days of highlights.
That's fair. That's fair. I could do the Abbey because that's Lehigh, so I don't really care. But
make it CJ week.
CJ week on the Twitter.
I got you.
Yep.
I got you. Locked but in. Y'all going to lose. Y'all losing, so.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Woo! So CJ is easily my favorite guest that we've had on this podcast ever. Like, it's not even close.
Would he be objective?
So can we lay out the terms of the bet, Zion? You want to renegotiate, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But as of right now, if the Browns beat the Giants, you have to post CJ's highlights on the sports Twitter account for 3 straight days and change your Avi to CJ, right?
Yes, but
and if in its current terms right now, if the Giants win, he sends you a bottle of wine.
Expensive, the most expensive bottle of wine in the market. I need it. You get paid.
You're up in the. You need to read. You might need to read. You gotta.
Yeah, call his agent. Get your own representation. You gotta redo the parameters of this deal.
Yeah, now. I do need something else because I'm gonna be drinking wine. So like, unless you want,
You should have told him to get you like a PS5 or something. Like you already got PS5. One, but you should. I mean, yeah. You should have told him to get you one or something.
We'll talk. We'll talk, CJ. But the Giants will win that game. I'm winning this bet. So. You know, you have to worry about
CJ. Huge shout to CJ for stopping through. Easily my favorite guest. And he's going to come back on when the Browns are in the playoffs, so I can't wait for that.
There's no guarantee they'll be in the playoffs.
You mean the one-and-done Browns?
So now it's one-and-done. You can't say anything to me. You guys told me, Adam, you said we're going fucking 8-8. I don't want to hear anything.
Listen,
well, I undervalued how easy the schedule was going to be.
Oh, it's the schedule now. Okay.
It is the schedule.
As we just heard in the interview, CJ went over it.
You beat who you beat. There's no such thing as ugly wins. They're all pretty, and I love them all. Let's get to our next interview. We got 2 interviews this week. We had no guests last week. We have 2 guests this week. That's how it works sometimes. Kirk Herbstreit on the pod to talk college football. Some we don't get into a lot, but, you know, there's some NFL stuff in there. Actually, the field stuff surprised me a little bit, Zion. in what he said about kind of who's ready for the NFL right now.
Yeah, that's another take. I was right. I've been right.
Is Kirk the ultimate authority on that? I don't know. Let's get to our Kirk interview and you guys can hear what we talked about. It's a good one. There's some random, like, some deep Ohio type talk that no one will understand except if you're from Ohio. But yeah, let's get to it. Huge special guest today. Kirk Herbstreit joined us. You know him from Game Day, ESPN, all that. Kirk, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to be with you guys.
So, Kirk, you got that going on. Also, I mean, we're obviously in the middle of college football season, so you're living right now. You know, it's Thanksgiving. We got it going on. What's the Kirk Herbstreit playoff right now? What's your four teams?
I would put Alabama at one. I think they've been pretty consistent being there. I'd put Notre Dame at two right now, based on their win against Clemson. I think they should. They beat the number one team in the country, so I think they should be up there. I'd move Clemson to three. More than anything, because Ohio State in the last few weeks continues to show some issues, some concerns, the secondary most notably. You know, you lose a couple first round corners. It seems like they have them every year, and they've got talented players, but for whatever reason, they're giving up big plays. And Indiana was the last team to do that. Indiana, by the way, is a pretty good team. And then I think Ohio State's offensive line also, and protecting Justin Fields, has some concerns. So I would put Ohio State still in there. They're still a dynamic team, but I put them at four. And then knocking on the door would be teams like A&M, Florida, BYU, Cincinnati, or probably that next cluster.
Do you think one of those non-Power 5 schools like Cincy or BYU, though, realistically has a shot of crashing the dance?
Yeah, Adam, I think the only way that's going to happen is Notre Dame needs to lose a game in the regular season. And they got a tough game the day after Thanksgiving, this week on Friday. They play North Carolina at 3:30, a nationally televised game on the road in Chapel Hill, big stage, big hype. And I'm interested to see if they get through it. They've got Wake on the road. You'd like to think that they'd be undefeated. But if they end up undefeated in the ACC championship, and if they beat Clemson, Clemson's out. But if they lose to Carolina and they go in with one loss, whoever loses that game is out. And that would open the door for what you're saying, the possibility of a Cincinnati or a BYU. I think Cincinnati probably has a better chance because of the bigger games that they've had a chance to play in. And they've looked good doing it. But I still think, you know, whether it's fair or unfair, I still think it's going to take, you know, a perfect storm.
But if it's ever going to be a year to do it, it might as well be this year. So
I agree. I agree. By the way, BYU is good, you know, and the problem is they haven't played anybody. You know, pre-COVID, they had an incredible slate of games of Power 5 teams. Yeah. Post-COVID, they're trying to find anybody that's still playing, and so they just haven't had a chance to play a lot of big-time programs. I think Washington was trying to schedule something with them this week because their game against Washington State got canceled. I still think they're trying to work that out. I don't know if that'll happen. And then there's some rumblings that Cincinnati and BYU may be trying to put a game together, which would be an incredible job of improvising and adjusting if the two ADs from Cincinnati and BYU end up matching up, because that would really settle the score. It wouldn't no longer be subjective, like you guys talking about who can flick the ball the best. We would have actual evidence of who the team was.
It's funny you mentioned BYU because Zion and I, we argue constantly about Lawrence and Fields next level, who's going to be the, like, but Zach Wilson, I think, is making a lot of people take notice. So what are you on that bandwagon, you think?
Well, I don't know where you guys side on the Lawrence.
I'm team Lawrence. He's team Fields.
Okay. I would just tell you that if you watch NFL football and you watch the way the game is trending, you're seeing more and more. It's a different era, right? I mean, the days of Peyton Manning sitting there on a seven-step drop and throwing from the pocket and not being mobile are over. I mean, you watch Patrick Mahomes just again last night. He's throwing off platform. He's creating. He's moving around. Russell Wilson. You go right through the list. These guys in the last 3 to 5 years, Justin Fields fits that billing, you know, as far as his creativity. Lawrence is an athlete as well, and he's very, very good. But I think the NFL, when they evaluate those two, it's going to be one of those, I don't think it's going to be Lawrence and everybody else. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a Lawrence Fields debate. And depending on which coach and which general manager ends up being that first pick overall, I think depending on their style, they'll either go Fields or they'll go Lawrence. So you guys will have a fun debate all the way up to the draft. But I would say that Zach Wilson is going to be a first rounder. The kid at North Dakota State is getting a lot of recognition. But I think Zach Wilson, I would put him right in the mix for to be a first rounder.
Well, speaking of Lawrence and Fields, in terms of the Heisman, like the Heisman and the postseason awards, how do you even fairly justify someone winning the Heisman this year with, you know, teams playing less games or, you know, games being postponed and whatnot? So, like, even with the debate between Lawrence and Fields, like, obviously Lawrence had COVID and missed some games. Like, how do you even fairly pick that out?
It's going to be very tough. Being a Heisman voter, you know, I'm not sitting there going, well, he played seven games and he played 12. So I'm going to give him the nod. I'm just going by how they're playing. Like, I don't know how many games Kyle Trask has played. I know they missed a game or two with COVID issues, but he's my leader. I mean, how can you not argue with what Kyle Trask is doing in Florida? Fields is a great player. And going into the Indiana game, he had as many incompletions as he did touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. And then the Indiana game, it wasn't necessarily – he didn't have a great game, but he also got a lot of pressure. I mean, he was running for his life more in that game than he had the previous games combined. So I think it's just – it's subjective. It's how you look at it. It's what you're looking for. But to me, I'm looking at results and I'm looking at consistency, whether you play six games, seven games, 10 games. I just know that Trask, and I'd even say the kid at Alabama, Mac Jones, you imagine filling the shoes of Tua Tagovailoa. And this kid's putting up similar numbers, you know. And so then he loses Jalen Waddle, who I think is the most dynamic player in the country, lost him to an injury 4 games ago. And yet here they are, still going out, scoring 50 and 60 a game. So I think it's a it's going to be a tough thing to pick. But I think, again, you just go by what guys are doing on a week-to-week basis, no matter how many games they get.
Well, I got to ask this as a Jets fan. And sadly, I root for that horrible franchise. But the Jets are kind of in play for a little bit, you know, a lot of machinations in college football. So, Kirk, if you are Trevor Lawrence and you potentially could go to that dumpster fire known as the New York Jets franchise, are you coming out of college or are you going to stick it out one more year in Clemson to try to get a better team in 2021 or 2022?
I can assure you, just knowing him, whatever he's going to do will have nothing to do with who's going to draft. Like, if he sits there and sees the Jets are at one, forget that. Kind of like, you know, Eli didn't do that. But Eli, yeah. Well, and Eli was like, I'm not playing for the Chargers.
Well, smart. It worked out well for him.
Yeah, it worked out well. And for Philip.
Yeah, it worked out great.
So, I don't think it's going to be one of those things. I grew up in Ohio. I was in Southwest Ohio. I grew up as a Bengals fan. I feel the exact same way. It's like a black hole.
It's an abyss. You
know, guys go there, and they're just – it's like you'll never hear from them again. Like
the Burrow injury, man. The Burrow.
But poor Joe Burrow. He gets injured. But if you watched him all year, it's a matter of time. It's going to be a collarbone. It's going to be a knee. Yeah. That offensive line that's in front of him. And so I can relate to it. But let me just tell you, if you guys are big NFL fans, these two quarterbacks – and I would throw Zach Wilson in there too, but these two guys with all the attention, you cannot find guys that check every box more than Fields and Lawrence as far as bringing a franchise quarterback in. How does he fit in the locker room? Is he a team guy? Does he care about the franchise? Is he more about himself and is going out and getting endorsements? These guys are like the perfect, as far as the human being, not football. The human being. You could not find two better guys to come in, and the defensive guys are going to love him. The training staff, the owner, the head coach, like everyone's got the fans. So you whoever goes, wherever those two players go, it's a
and
win.
Then real quick, regardless. And then we can dead this Jets talk, but is Jim Harbaugh the next coach of the New York Jets? I kind of want that to happen, but I mean, I can just see it happening real easily.
Yeah. I mean, everybody who looks at Michigan and thinks, boy, Jim Harbaugh can no longer coach is insane. It's not working out the way we had all thought. I personally, I love the NFL. I'm a huge college football guy. There's something cool about Jim Harbaugh as a player at Michigan and playing for Bo, coming back to his alma mater and trying to get him going and doing okay. But this year, it's not going well. And with what you're saying, if he ends up leaving, you know, one day later, he's an NFL head coach. I can't say, yeah, he's going to the Jets or not. I can just tell you the guy can flat out coach, and he has systems that work. And right now it's just not working, but have the Jets fired their coach? We know it's coming, Kirk.
It's coming. It's imminent.
Gase is still there right now.
It's just a matter of time.
Before we get you out of here, Kirk, again, we talked with Allstate Good Hands Challenge. Everybody go do that. Everybody send your videos. But as an Ohio, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio guy. I don't root for Ohio State. I went to OU. I don't root. But I gotta say, the hate that you get from Ohio State fans is insane. It is crazy, and it is. I do not understand it. They get so mad at you, and it's so stupid.
Well, every fan base has a radical fan base.
Yeah.
Ohio State just happens to have one of the loudest in college football, one of the loudest radical fan bases. These people, if you say anything objective, they're not going to be happy. Yeah. So I just told you, I didn't realize you're from Cleveland. I was just breaking down Ohio State, and they got all this great stuff to talk about. But they have some if you watch them, you realize they have concerns. And yeah. So I just say what's real. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But I've learned you almost become just like you guys probably of social media. You become hardened to it or callous. It's just like used to bother me because I really love Ohio State. I love my school. My dad played there. He was a captain. He coached with Woody Hayes. I played there. I was a captain. My wife was a former cheerleader. My kids are brainwashed Ohio State kids. Like nobody's a bigger Ohio State junkie. I knew the fight song when I was like three. and to hear this, it used to really be like, what are you talking about? And now it's just, it's the world. These people hate, they're not hating me. They hate someone else.
They hate their
everybody.
Life.
So
they hate their life.
Huh? I mean, it's just, they do. Yeah. So I'm fine and I'm good. And it doesn't affect me. And I still love Ohio State regardless.
I'm glad that it doesn't, because growing up, it was like always a thing. And I'm like, let this man live. Like he doesn't hate the school he went to. I can guarantee it.
Oh, no, I don't. Usually it goes Browns, Indians, Ohio State. Did you grow up?
My mom went to Michigan. So, oh, okay. I mean, but I'm not a Michigan fan either. I just, no real college football alliance. So
have you told these guys about Halloween in Athens?
Of course.
No,
I don't know if we've had a Halloween in Athens discussion. No. I try and, you know, the past is the past, Kirk.
I'm not saying you're still going. I'm just saying like the two things that come up about Ohio that at least I think of are Halloween.
Yep.
And their band is like really, really, right? And band? Really
the band in Halloween are
a lot of shenanigans. Shenanigans going down on Halloween over there at OU.
Okay. A lot of shenanigans. Right. Yeah.
You were doing illegal activities, Chops?
Have the statute of limitations expired on those transitions?
A lot of Ohio people would say Athens is probably the most fun college town in Ohio.
It's a cool area, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm an outdoors guy myself. Like I love, you know, the region down in Athens. I don't know if these guys know much about it, but Ohio is cornfields or big cities like Cleveland, Cincinnati, or Columbus, and everything in between. It's cornfields, and then you get to Athens, and it turns into a forest. So and hills. Yeah, it does. Cool there, it's a nice spot.
It does, but yes, I'm very proud of my Browns right now. So yes, Kirk, it's a good
congrats.
Time.
Oh my goodness!
Meanwhile, you were crushing Baker before this season started.
We crushed him for him. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I was crushing Baker like yesterday, Kirk. He missed two touchdowns terribly. I was crushing Baker yesterday. We're talking Allstate Good Hands Challenge. I know you're super excited about this. I just got the media packet the other day, playing some little flick football. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, have you guys ever, you guys may be too young, but my generation, we didn't have all these video games and we had Pong. No, we had actually moved into Sega down the road, but we played paper football, like in study hall and high school. And
I played it too.
Yeah, we did it too a little bit, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so it's kind of a fun idea that Allstate came up with in the midst of this COVID, some old school fun, a chance for people to have fun with different ways of flicking it, not just for distance. But we're looking for some creativity and have some fun with it. All you got to do is have somebody videotape you while you're doing your kick and then put it on your social media, whether it's Instagram or on Twitter, and make sure you use the hashtag good hands challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do that, I'm going to have a chance to evaluate and look at all the different flicks. And I'll pick my favorite one and I'll put it up on my social media on Instagram and Twitter. And we're just trying to have some fun with it. By the way, they're going to donate $10 for every video submitted. And I think they're going to go up to $150,000 to their general scholarship fund. So pretty simple thing. Have a little bit of fun with it and enjoy it and help their scholarship fund at the same time.
Sounds like a great cause, and you're already challenging people from what I understand, right? You're getting the
I got David Pollock. I challenged. I got Thomas Rhett, and I think Thomas challenged Dierks Bentley. So, you know, when you put your video up with that hashtag "Good Hands Challenge," challenge your buddy or challenge somebody, and hopefully we can get this thing to go all around the country.
I haven't. I would easily, of a group of our pod, Adam and Zion, I would easily win.
What are you basing that on? Yeah.
Get out. What?
My hand-eye coordination compared to you guys is just superior,
what?
I will say.
We've seen your football thing. Relax.
All right.
The cool thing is we can settle this by having video evidence to see.
Oh, that's true. We'll do it. No, yeah, we need to have a pod contest for this and tag it and everything.
Big shout to Kirk. That was fun. I really liked how he talked about how Ohio State fans need to get out of their fucking feelings when he does his job. That was my favorite part of the whole interview.
He's been battling them for a long time.
They've been on him.
Yeah, I think actually,
as long as I can remember.
Yeah, it's sad, pathetic. Ohio State fans have a.
I'm glad he's over it. Because they used to be very, very mean to him.
Yeah, unnecessarily. They're lunatics.
Listen, we have our second. Exposed take of the podcast and belongs to Chops, who consistently has gone against Justin Fields and questioned why I want Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence. You heard it here from Kirk Herbstreit, the expert. Justin Fields is a better NFL play than Trevor Lawrence.
He did say that. He did. I mean, he obviously said both guys he thinks will be very good, but he did say that he thinks Fields fits, you know, the way the league is going. That's great. I mean,
did he say better though overall? Like, I mean, he said Justin Fields is a very good fit for today's NFL.
Yeah.
But he didn't necessarily say better than Trevor.
He didn't necessarily say better.
He hinted at it because he used Pat Mahomes and Russell Wilson as
and he said it's not the Peyton Manning, and people compare Trevor to Peyton Manning. So he said it's not like Peyton Manning's NFL where you drop back and all that. And Trevor is athletic, but I think it was a pretty big statement that, you know, he made it sound like if you're starting an NFL team right now and you have that pick, it's, you know, Fields is the way to go, which is, yeah. I can't wait to see how Ohio State fans like twist that into thinking Kirk is hating on them somehow and something. They're going to hate the Harbaugh love that he gave in saying that Harbaugh is a great coach at Michigan. They're just going to freak out about that. But fun one in the books, boys. We do have a Thanksgiving episode this week because there's football, so we're going to have our picks. Adam and I had very bad weeks. It happens.
That's gambling for you.
I don't know what Zion did straight up. But yeah, it was a tough one. But we will have a pod on Thanksgiving. Maybe we'll. Are we going to say what we're thankful for? Are we thankful for each other? Is that how we're going to do it?
No, fuck that.
I am thankful for Adam and Chops. I am thankful.
Yeah, I'm thankful for you guys too.
And Misha and Complex.
I'm thankful for our producers.
I'm thankful for all you guys. We got a great team. I love it. And I'm thankful. You know what I'm thankful for? For the listeners. Everybody except that one dude who left.
I'm very thankful for that guy that clowned on you for your attitude last
week. Very thankful for that guy right there. Please keep on sending. Call in so we can hear your voice and give Chops.
Yeah. We want to give you some shine. So please call the hotline.
Well, I will say that of the reviews, all the negative ones specifically mentioned me. So I don't know what that's.
Didn't some asshole say I curse too much?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, well, he can fuck off.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. On that note, we'll see you guys later. We'll see you Thursday. New pod. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at @pchops_ at Adam Caparel, at Zion Olajide, at Complex Sports. Listen, subscribe, rate the pod wherever you listen to it. It's free. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that. We love y'all. Until next time. And as always, a special thanks to our producers, Josh John and Jasmine Plata, our audio editor, Misha Jones. Welcome to the team. Our production manager, Sean Sel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart, our general manager, Donnie Kwok.
This is a production of Complex Networks.